Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to just remind us that we are, of course, continuing with our series in Philippians, picking up where we left off last week in the first chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 7. If you recall from our previous message, in this opening section of Paul's letter, he is expressing his thanks to God for these Philippian saints who have blessed him so very much. Whenever Paul prayed for these beloved brethren of his at Philippi, he would remember how they partnered with him in the gospel over the years. From their earliest days as believers, until years later, when Paul wrote this epistle while imprisoned at Rome, these Philippian saints demonstrated their love for Paul and their zeal for the gospel through their generous support. Out of their loving concern for Paul as he suffered his imprisonment, the Philippian saints sent a recent batch of gifts to him, which he acknowledges at the conclusion of this epistle in chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. In today's text, the Apostle Paul reaffirms the thankful joy he felt towards these saints at Philippi. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul considered it right to feel as strongly as he did about the Philippian church, because, as we read in our text, he held them in his heart. See, Paul didn't take their partnership in the gospel for granted. Whenever he prayed for the Philippian church, he remembered their record of generous support and joyfully gave thanks for them to God. Verse 3 to 5, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul held the Philippian saints in his heart. He did not forget their zeal, their love, as his many thankful prayers for them demonstrated. As mentioned earlier, the Philippian saints not only gave in support of Paul's preaching ministry, but also gave to refresh and relieve Paul as he suffered in prison. By doing so, our text makes clear, the Philippian saints were partakers with Paul of grace. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Now you'll notice in our text that the Apostle Paul refers both to his preaching ministry and his imprisonment as grace. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He refers to both his imprisonment and his preaching ministry as grace. So first, let's consider his preaching ministry. The Apostle Paul acknowledges that his apostleship was grace, a gift from God. If not for the grace of God, whereby Christ was revealed to him on the road to Damascus, if not for the grace of this gospel through which he was redeemed for Christ, well, where would Paul be? Well, Paul would have been out there persecuting the church, as he did before he came to Christ. He'll be out there living as an insolent opponent of the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that it was by the grace of God that he was saved in Christ, and it was by the grace of God that he was appointed by Christ to preach the unsearchable riches of his gospel. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9 to 10. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. By the grace of God, Apostle Paul understood that he was what he was, that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, where will we be if not for God's redeeming grace? But for the grace of God setting his everlasting love upon us, but for the grace of God predestining us for salvation through his Son, but for the grace of God sending his Son to bear our sins on the cross, but for the grace of God opening our hearts to his gospel for our conversion and inclining our hearts to keep his commandments and grow in his likeness, where would we be? Where would we be? There's that famous story about the English martyr, John Bradford, who once saw a criminal being led away to his execution, to his death sentence. Upon seeing that pitiful sight, John Bradford exclaimed, "There, but for the grace of God, goes John Bradford." But who would we be but for the grace of God in Christ? Perhaps we too would be a criminal on death row. Or perhaps we'd be leading an unremarkable worldly life. Perhaps we'd be a ruthless, virulent persecutor of the Christian faith like Paul was at one point in his life for his conversion. Or maybe we would be a nominal Christian, a Christian name only, attending church merely to enjoy its social perks. Well, one thing is for sure, if not for the redeeming grace of God in Christ, we would all be hard-hearted unbelievers in regards to this gospel of salvation, and blind, impenitent thralls of the devil, as that abolitionist John Newton once said, "I am not what I ought to be. Ah, how imperfect and deficient. I am not what I wish to be. I abhor what is evil, and I would cleave to what is good. I am not what I hope to be. Soon I shall put off mortality, and with mortality all sin and imperfection. Yet though I am not what I ought to be, nor what I wish to be, nor what I hope to be, I can truly say I am not what I once was, a slave to sin and Satan. And I can heartily join with the apostle and acknowledge, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If we love the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and have a heart to obey and glorify Him, we have only God's grace to thank for it. The Apostle Paul understood this about himself and so recognized his apostolic ministry to be a gift of God's grace. But again, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul not only refers to his apostleship as grace, but also refers to his imprisonment as grace. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He considered his defense and confirmation of the gospel, his apostolic ministry, to be grace. He considered his imprisonment to be grace. Now, maybe obvious to some, if not most of us, how Paul's apostleship was grace. But how about his imprisonment? Why would he refer to his imprisonment of all things as God's grace to him, as a gift? Well, I think Paul refers to his imprisonment as grace because his imprisonment was proof that he was truly transformed by the saving grace of God in Christ. And that proof was an invaluable gift. It reminded him of how much God had done for him in Christ. And it reassured him of his glorious destiny in Christ as one who was truly saved. Martin Lloyd-Jones once preached about Paul's point of view regarding his own imprisonment. He stated, "If I were still the man I once was, if I were still Saul of Tarsus, if I was still that Pharisee, that blaspheming, injurious person that I once was, if I were still a teacher of the Jewish law and all the comments of the scribes and authorities, if I still were what I once was, a Saul of Tarsus, I wouldn't be in this prison. I would still be at liberty. Well, why am I here then? Well, I'm here for this reason. I'm here because of that which happened to me that noonday on my way to Damascus." Once you begin to think like this, you forget prison bars and cells and discomfort and everything else. The prison sends him back to think of his conversion and the amazing grace of God and the love of Christ. I think Dr. Lloyd-Jones sheds light into the reason why Paul's imprisonment was actually grace from God. See, where would Paul be if the grace of God did not intervene in his life on that road to Damascus? He would be free. He would not be in prison. He would be free. He'd be doing what he'd been doing before Christ appeared to him, persecuting the church. As we read in Acts 9:1, breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, binding Christ's saints in chains and dragging them off to prison. Indeed, he would still be free, spending his life persecuting the church, persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine Paul, imprisoned in Rome for the sake of Christ, examining the chains that bound him and considering that terrible, blinded life he once lived. Considering the fact that if not for the grace of the gospel, he would still be out there a free man, living a life of spiritual ignorance, opposing the way of salvation, ravaging the church of Christ. Imagine Paul examining his chains in that prison and giving thanks for the grace of God that transformed him from Christ's staunchest enemy to his faithful servant who was willing to suffer imprisonment for him and even die for him. Paul's imprisonment was grace because it was proof that he desired to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And Scripture tells us that everyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You see what it says there? It says all. It doesn't say some. It says all. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Paul's imprisonment was grace because it was proof that he desired to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. His persecution for the name of Christ was proof that he desired to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. You see, Paul could have preached to please man rather than the Lord. If he had done that, he would have been rewarded. He would have received praise from the masses. He would have received respect from his own countrymen, the Jews. If he had done that, well, that would have kept him out of prison for sure. But the Apostle Paul was transformed by the grace of God. And as a result, he desired to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. He desired to please the Lord who saved him, as only those who are truly born again desire to do. And because of that, because he sought to please Christ in all that he preached, well, what happened? That led to his persecution. And that will lead to our persecution if we too desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. So once again, Paul's imprisonment was grace because it was proof of a heart fundamentally transformed towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It was proof that he was born again. It was proof that he was a new creation in Christ. It was proof of his desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, which he never knew before the grace of God intervened on that road to Damascus. Do we look at our own suffering for Christ's sake as grace from God? Do we say to ourselves, when enduring persecution for the name of Christ in the small or big ways that we may endure. Do we say that to ourselves? This is grace from God. Do we say, if I were still the person I once was, if I were still that idolatrous person of the world, if I were still that ungodly person who was blind to the glory of Christ and whose mind was still set on earthly things, well, if I was still that person, I would not be persecuted as I am. I would not be insulted and ridiculed as I am. My own former friends, acquaintances, even relatives or family members would not be sneering at me behind my back and making me a constant object of mockery and derision. All those people who have turned their backs on me, well, they wouldn't have done so if I were still that person I used to be. You see, the world would still love me as one of its own. Well, then why do I suffer as I do? Well, I suffer for this reason. I suffer because of that which happened to me that day Christ revealed himself through the gospel and I was born again. I suffer as I do because the grace of God has transformed my heart and I now desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And so this persecution I'm enduring for the sake of Christ is proof of my love and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is proof that I am truly his disciple. Do we look at our own suffering for Christ's sake in the small or big ways that we do in this way? As grace from God. In the beginning of this epistle, the epistle to the Philippians, if you remember, the Apostle Paul calls himself a servant of Christ. He calls himself a servant of Christ repeatedly throughout the New Testament. But there's one place in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul calls himself a prisoner of Christ. Well, all genuine believers are servants of Christ. We can, if we are in Christ, we certainly relate to that. But most of us are not prisoners of Christ. We've never set foot in a prison, let alone set foot in prison for Christ's name's sake. But if we are in any way, shape, or form outcasted for Christ's sake, what does that make us? That makes us outcasts of Christ. If we are disowned for Christ's sake, we are orphans of Christ. If we are maligned by the world for Christ's sake, what does that make us? That makes us strangers and sojourners of Christ. See, our willingness to endure suffering for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ is proof that we have been transformed by the saving grace of God in Christ. It is proof we are a new creation who desire to live a godly life in Christ. And that is grace from God. It's a gift. That gives us powerful assurance that we really are born again and saved. That gives us powerful assurance that we are counted among Christ's servants. As our Lord himself said in Matthew 5:11-12, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who are before you. Being persecuted for our desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus is proof that we are counted among Christ's servants. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so if we look at our suffering for the sake of Christ in that light, well, then we'll recognize that to suffer for Christ is a gift from God. Brothers, the Philippian saints were partakers with Paul of grace, both in his imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. They not only supported Paul as he preached the name of Christ, but also as he suffered for the name of Christ. Are there any among us who are suffering for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? We're not in prison, but there are many ways that we can suffer for the name of Christ. The coldness, the mockery, the sneering, the spite, the glares of the world. These are ways that we suffer for the name of Christ. The exclusion, the ridicule, the gossip. All these things that we may suffer because we are servants of our Lord Jesus Christ are ways that we are persecuted for his name's sake. And if there be any among us today who are persecuted in this way, persecuted because we desire to live a godly life in Christ, well then let us remember, as the Philippian saints remembered to do for Paul, to support them, to be partakers with them of grace, even the grace of suffering for Christ's name. That's how we're partakers of grace with them in their suffering for Christ. By supporting them. By encouraging them. By comforting them and refreshing them and praying for them. These are things that the Philippian saints did for Paul as he languished in prison for the sake of Christ. That's how we can be partakers of this grace of suffering for the name of Christ. Even if we ourselves at this particular point in time may not be suffering terribly for the name of Christ. But that's how we partakers of grace, of that grace. When we see our brothers who are suffering perhaps more intensely for the name of Christ than we are, to encourage them, comfort them, refresh them, pray for them, support them. That's how we do it. So let us be partakers with them of grace. Let's pray. Holy Heavenly Father, we pray insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your word and is the product of your Spirit's anointing, that we who are your children in Christ Jesus, who have been transformed by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who are new creations in Christ, who are born again, who have upon our hearts written the law of our God according to your new covenant promise in Christ. We pray that we, Lord God, would receive your word and carry out your word, being partakers of grace with our suffering brethren in Christ who are suffering for the sake of Christ's name. That we would participate with them in their suffering by supporting them, by comforting them, by praying for them, by encouraging them, by refreshing them, as we see in the very example of these Philippian saints towards our beloved brother, the Apostle Paul, who is with you now in heaven. And so, Lord God, to that end, please bless this receiving of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.